You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Wednesday edition. Last show, I really had not covered all the material that I wanted to, and I debated whether to have part two or maybe just cover one of the stories. I do definitely want to cover President Trump's visit to Iowa, because he carried those states. I put a map up, and you can go to my companion blog, which is PronkPops.wordpress.com, and you see the states in green are states that Donald Trump won. And what's interesting about it, that 77% of the total ethanol nameplate capacity is in these states. And then when you look at, in terms of electoral vote, guess what? 82% of the electoral votes in those states went for Trump. Now, it includes Pennsylvania, and that's somewhat misleading, because that was a very, very close race. The point being is, and this gets back to my point, we have two political parties that are big government parties, and one makes no bones about it. Actually, it's both parties. Vote for me, and I'll give you for some free stuff. Now, ethanol is not free, but what do these states have? They have a lot of farmers, especially corn farmers, and it's rough to be a farmer. It's risky. You have the risk of the weather. You have risk of price fluctuations in the international market. You have potential trade wars where suddenly in the past, for example, in soybeans, you had a great demand from China, and then suddenly not anymore until we get an agreement. Farming's very much a business, big business. You need a lot of investment in land and equipment, and then you have the normal risk. What are farmers interested in? Yeah, selling a lot of corn as a source of fuel, a feedstock, if you will, and it makes ethanol. Now, initially, it was thought that this was a way to supplement our oil supply, and just for information, if you go to a gas station today, all your gas has at least somewhere between 0 and 10%, and you're notified of that. It's called E10, which means you have up to 10% ethanol, but what you need to understand is ethanol has less energy in it. So let's say you had 100% ethanol, and yeah, there are a few cars that can do that. Most cars don't. You get a lot less energy, which means a lot less mileage. So why there is a good reason to have ethanol as an additive, you don't want to have higher and higher percentages being mandated. The federal government mandates, requires you, it directs you, you're going to have to buy gasoline that has ethanol in it. No ifs, ands, or buts. You see, this is just another example of intervention in the marketplace by the government, in this case, the federal government. And yes, no surprise here, the farm states want this because it makes corn more valuable. Now, keep in mind, the corn you eat is not the corn that goes in the ethanol. That's one of the first things you need to understand. But what they do is either they take land that's not being productive and grow the type of corn that you can use in ethanol, or switch out land that they might plant another crop for ethanol. So they're looking at how much they can get for their corn. So Trump is in Iowa. Well, what do you think he's going to say to the Iowans? Well, let's hear what he has to say, because he was at, guess what, an ethanol plant. And let me play that video.
And I want to thank Senator Ernst for the introduction, the job she's done and the great leadership she's displayed. And I want to tell you, she worked very hard on ethanol along with Senator Grassley and Kim and everybody else. And I want to thank you all. Thank you, Governor. Appreciate it. I'm truly delighted. They worked hard. I'm truly delighted to be here with the incredible farmers, growers, and workers who power our country, feed our nation, and preserve the American way of life. And that's what you do. Today, we honor America's cherished farming heritage. We salute your commitment to American energy independence, and we celebrate the bright future that we are forging together, powered by clean, affordable American ethanol. Congratulations. Congratulations. You know, I fought very hard for ethanol, but you proved me right. Thank you. Please sit down. Sit down. Otherwise, they'll say I got no standing ovations. Appreciate it. We're grateful to be joined by our tremendously talented, loves this business, Secretary of Agriculture, Sonny Perdue. Thank you, Sonny. Thank you. And EPA Administrator Andrew Wheeler. Andrew, thank you very much. Great job you're doing, both of you. Thanks as well to Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds. Thank you, Kim. Great job. She ran a great race. And a great friend of mine also, Nebraska Governor Pete Ricketts. Pete, thank you. Thank you, Pete. And another tremendous person, tremendous woman, a winner, somebody that helps us all so much, Senator Deb Fisher of Nebraska. Deb Fisher. Thank you, Deb. Iowa Secretary of Agriculture, Mike Naig. Thank you, Mike. Thank you. Thank you, Mike. Director of the Nebraska Department of Agriculture, Steve Wellman. Steve, thank you. The mayor of Omaha, Nebraska, Gene Stoddart. Thank you, Gene. We had a big fight in Omaha, and we won that one pretty easily. A certain person was spending a lot of money against us. That didn't work out so well for him. And many other state and local leaders, I want to thank you all for being here. Thank you. Thank you very much. I also want to thank the CEO of Southwest Iowa Renewable Energy, Mike Yerke. And I will tell you, I met Mike a long time ago, and I said, let's do this. And other candidates all said, nope, we're not going to support ethanol. And I did. Is that a correct statement? And look what you've built, Mike. Great job. But thank you very much for hosting us today, along with two other great energy leaders, President of Renewable Fuels Association, Jeff Cooper, and CEO of Growth Energy, Emily Score. Thank you all very much. Thank you, Emily. Thank you. Thank you.
Now, let me interrupt it here. Donald Trump revealed his plan. And I'm talking 2016. He was the candidate that came out clearly for ethanol. Federal government mandates, and it's before Trump ran for president. This is nothing new. What the farmers would like to do, or the people that make, distill, basically it's a distillery that converts the corn into ethanol, and then the ethanol is shipped to a blender where the oil, the gasoline, and the ethanol are blended. And you have other additives. And it was the idea was this would, in theory, the problem is it didn't work. In theory, this was potentially going to lower the price of oil. No, oil is independent of what ethanol is doing. It would stretch our supply of gasoline. Well, there's less energy in ethanol, so you're going to have slightly reduced mileage, but since it's less than 10% of the content, most people don't notice it. But if they had higher percentage, they would, because it's what's the equivalent? Because, let's say you had 100% ethanol and put that in your tank, and some cars can run on it. A lot of cars would be damaged, and that's part of the problem. You have a lot of old cars. It depends when the car was produced. Cars today can run up to 10%. You have some flex fuel cars that can go higher to E85, and the problem is the gasoline stations simply don't have the tanks. You need tanks if you're going to go to E85. E85 is not going to happen, folks. Let me say that. The only way it could happen is if the government mandates it. And that is a problem. And then you have the problem of, if you're over 10%, forget about the cars for a minute. Focus in on small engines, like if you have a lawnmower or a boat. They do severe damage to the engine. Now, none of this is new. But you see, you have consequences of the government interfering with private enterprise. You know, before the government mandated this, and it continues today, the producers of petroleum that supply these gas stations put additives in. And you don't know what's in it, but supposedly to make it better, cleaner burning, more efficient. That's the word they like to use. And we've had, as a result, you've had an increase. For example, in year 2000, ethanol, if you look at U.S. fuel, ethanol production and imports, it was 1,630 million liquid gallons. Now, I only have statistics through 2011, but today it's, in 2011, it was 13,900 million. It's now over 15 million. There are some imports, but it's mainly, where are we getting all this ethanol? We're getting it, and who benefits? Well, obviously, if you're a farmer and plant your fields with the corn that's used in ethanol, they benefit. But it's artificially created because the government created this. See, I'm against subsidies, you know, whether they're loans, loan guarantees, tax credits, cash payments. Subsidies can take many different forms. But when you combine it with a mandate, you're forcing people, I don't have any choice. I have to buy gasoline that has this in it. Now, if it went higher and higher, I would have a problem because most of the cars, including the car I drive, you can't go higher than 10%. And most of them don't have 10%. But you really don't know what the exact percentage is. It's just E10. That can be a couple of percentage to 10%. You don't really know. And yeah, and then you have some people that go out of their way to buy flex fuels. It's mainly fleets, though. And there you could have gasoline up to 85% ethanol. The problem you get into there, you're going to have to buy more of it because there's less energy in E85. Now, the environmentalist will point out you need a lot of energy to first fertilizer to make the corn, and then you got to ship the corn to the distiller, and they need energy to convert it to ethanol, and then you got to ship the ethanol to where it's going to be blended, and all that energy usage, the net is, oh yeah, there's a slight advantage. You're getting energy out of it, but you're burning a lot of oil to do it. You're using a lot of electricity, natural gas, oil to do it. So it's not really the environmental answer. Initially it was, and that's the problem. You have people that think they're smart, but they're not really looking at the entire picture. And I don't think we're going to see E85 vehicles. There are, though, Ford, Chrysler, GM that do sell flexible fuel vehicles that can run blends ranging from pure gasoline, in other words, gasoline with no ethanol, up to 85% ethanol. Now, I'm all for choice, provided you get the choice because you have people competing for your business, not because the government says you have to have a certain percentage of ethanol in your gas tank. Now, why am I going on about this? What has been the impact, unintended consequences of this? Well, if you're using the land to grow corn that you're going to sell and it's going to be used for ethanol, you're not using the land to produce other crops. Point one. So what that means, for example, farmers not only grow crops, they also raise chickens, beef, turkeys, pork, and some do milk. Their dairy farms. What has gone up? The feed costs to feed their livestock. See, this is not a simple issue. So they get hurt. That's why associations of poultry, cattle, pork, milk producers, dairies, they oppose this mandate. And what they really oppose is this reusable fuel standard. That there's been efforts, continue efforts, to repeal it because it's really been a failure. The experiment has been a failure. But the mandates are still on the books. And I don't want to get in. I'm looking at the time, and I really don't want to spend too much time on this. But this is a perfect example of when politicians get involved and regulators get involved. We're talking the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, but also the Department of Agriculture is involved. And the unintended consequence it is, food prices, not only in the United States, but abroad, are going up because a lot of the land is being used to produce corn that's used to make ethanol. And yeah, I'm affected not only when I buy a gallon of gasoline, but also because the ethanol gives me less mileage, but also in terms of higher food prices. For example, I like to eat turkey. I like to eat chicken. Well, guess what? You got to feed a turkey and a chicken. They have to eat, folks, before you eat them. I'm talking about the food chain here, and that's what's happened. Food prices have gone up. You need the market, really, to do this, is what I'm trying to say. Get the government out of regulating agriculture and mandating and subsidizing farmers. Let the farmers produce whatever they can produce, anything they want, as little as much as they want. And they need to be rewarded. They're taking risk. If they're taking, you have a business or investment that has more risk, you should have a much higher risk premium. Now, I don't blame them for making money selling their corn to the ethanol distilleries. That's the feedstock is corn for the ethanol. And that is the renewable fuel in the United States. Really, it's still gasoline. It's a combustion engine. Ethanol is not the answer, folks. That's basically what I'm trying to say. If you want to use it for an additive, less than 10%, fine. You know, I leave that up to the company that's exploring and producing it. And then you have, now some are integrated oil companies, but some are in either distribution or adding additives. What do the American people want? They want a low prices in terms of gasoline prices, period. And the answer is not more and more ethanol. Oh yeah, it will benefit. Let's say we went to, this is not going to happen, but let's say, just as an example, let's take an extreme example. We went to 100% ethanol, and some cars could do that, but most can't. We get less mileage. I don't want that. That means it's more expensive to run on ethanol. I want the cheapest gasoline around. And do I really care what's in it? Only if it damages my car or engine do I really care. But the answer is more exploration in the United States, and that's exactly what's happened. The market responds, and now we have found a lot of reserves of not only petroleum but natural gas. Now, some people want electric cars, but in producing those cars, that involves using fuel. But ultimately, if you're going to power it by electricity, well, some of the electrical capacity is still based on coal, others on water or hydro. Some are still nuclear. Here's something I should emphasize. The situation changed depending on what is your fuel source. Now, it's the favored one is natural gas. It's very clean. We're never going to have a large percentage of our industrial base, as well as cars, being powered by solar power. You got the bottleneck there is you need a battery to store the energy. So what you're going to get is politicians going to Iowa and trying to get their vote and say, you know, I'm for ethanol.
We came here and we talked ethanol and people didn't believe in us, right? And now it's a big beauty, and E15 sounds very good, doesn't it? Who knows? Maybe it's going to go up. Maybe it's going to go up. Right here at this impressive facility, the rich harvest of American soil is turned into fuel that powers American cars and industries. Farmers from across the region send in more than 120,000 bushels of corn to produce 365,000 gallons of pure American ethanol every single day. I just got a little run through back there. It's very impressive. That's a long way from our first conversation, isn't it? It's a long way. You've come a long way. So have I. I became president. when you think. Under the previous administration, our leaders rejected American energy, and they rejected ethanol. They imposed radical restrictions on our farmers and ethanol producers, and they refused to even allow talk of E15 during the busiest driving months of the year. And as you know, we took it from 8 months to 12 beautiful months. That's another big factor. All year long. And how ridiculous was that? How ridiculous was that? But we took it all year long, not the very shortened year. And nobody could explain to me why. Not one person was able to explain why they cut it off. Just one of those things, but we ended it. As a candidate for president, I pledge to support our ethanol industry and to fight for the American farmer like no president has ever fought before. And we're winning these fights. And you're great patriots, I will tell you. We're winning these fights. You know, for 15 years before the election of 2016, farmers and farm pricing and a lot of things were going in this direction. You have to see the charts. They weren't pretty. And in a very short period of time, we're still working on China. Japan is going to be a big buyer very shortly. They told me the other day, we're going to be buying a lot of product from your farmers. And a lot of other places, you see them coming in, and they're starting to come in very big, very, very big. Mexico, you see what happened over the last 2 days. And Mexico is going to be doing a lot of buying, a lot of buying. Within a year and a half, I would say you'll be in the best position that you've been in 15 years as farmers, and you deserve it. You deserve it. Last year, I came right here to Iowa and announced that my administration would open up the sale of E15 all year round. And now I've come back to announce that just days ago, we officially lifted the restrictions. You hear that? Joni, Deb, Pete, you hear that? Kim? A few days ago, we lifted, right? We lifted the restrictions on E15 just in time to fuel America's summer vacations. We just made it. We just made it. That's a nice group behind me. I don't know. Their seat's no good, but they're going to become very famous tomorrow. We'll make their seat very good. They're happy. They're happy because of what we've done and because of how well our country is doing and our economy is doing. As a result of our action, E15 sales are projected to more than double this year. Think of that. More than double. You agree with that? More than double. More American ethanol production also means less dependence on foreign suppliers. By fully embracing E15, we will reduce dependence on foreign oil by up to 250 million additional barrels every single year. I mean, quite simply, it means more energy. And what can be wrong with that? And it's very good energy. That means our farmers are not only promoting our prosperity, you are protecting our security as a nation. America must never again be held hostage to foreign suppliers of energy as we were under the Obama-Biden Sleepy Joe group. Sleepy Joe. He was someplace in Iowa today, and he said my name so many times that people couldn't stand it anymore. No, don't keep saying it. Sleepy guy. With the help of energy grown and produced at home, we've increased annual ethanol exports by 550 million gallons. Last year, we exported a record-breaking 1.7 billion gallons of ethanol. That's a big number. And separately, the United States is now the number one producer of oil and natural gas anywhere on the planet. We're the biggest in the world in energy production. And now ethanol is playing a bigger and bigger part. So congratulations. And this isn't political season quite for me. It'll start next week. But just remember, the Democrats were totally opposed to this, folks. They didn't have a clue. After decades of being held down and held back, we are now a net exporter of energy to the world with a tremendous increase of jobs in the energy industry. We are securing our nation's future through American energy independence and American energy dominance. And that's what it is. It's become dominant. At the same time, the fuel you produce brings down prices at the pump for millions of American drivers. Those savings go straight into the pockets of hardworking families.
Well, let's cut this off. I have no problem with ethanol being used as an additive, but it shouldn't be a replacement for gasoline. The farmers are subsidized, and this is mandated by the government. I'm in favor of totally repealing the renewable fuel standard. That's the mandate. Let the market decide what's the best. Stop forcing people, telling people what they need to consume. Now, he's focused on the farmers. I understand. Guess what? If you get a check from the government or a tax credit or a loan guarantee or a loan at favorable rates and it benefits you, well, good luck to you. And that's what goes in Washington. It goes on in all industries. What the American people want is two things. They want cheaper gasoline and they want cheaper food. And to the extent that you entice, give incentives to farmers to grow more and more of these field corn, you can't eat it, instead of edible corn or other crops to fuel our cars, give me a break. The United States has the largest reserves of petroleum in the world. We shouldn't be doing this. This is a dumb idea, an experiment that's failed, and it should be stopped. Now, he's peddling this to the farmers, and that's why he's going to carry the Midwest again. He's no dummy, but this is not in the interest of the American people and the American consumer. See, that's my problem with both the Democrats and Republicans. They interfere with the economy, and they interfere abroad. They're interventionists. They can't mind their own business. They're minding everyone else's business. If the government comes after you, there's so many laws on the books, they can throw you in jail on almost anything. It's ridiculous, folks. This is just a classic example of what happens when you have government intervention. You're transferring money from one person's pocket to the other's. Let the farmers produce whatever they want in whatever quantities. Get the regulations off their backs and let the market determine what is the best crops to produce and what does the, if you want to succeed, you want mass consumption, not forcing the American people to buy fuel that has more and more ethanol in it and less energy. That doesn't make sense, Mr. President, not given the fact that we have so much oil in the United States, and there's oil in Canada and oil in Mexico. Why are we still continuing more and more ethanol? You know, if there's a market and people want to buy E15, knock themselves out. They're not doing it, except in the Midwest. And the reason is very simple. You got to have a pump for it and tanks if you want to sell another type of fuel or blend. So eliminate, repeal the renewable fuel standard, and also eliminate all the subsidy programs. But you can see the president and obviously Republicans from the farm state, they wouldn't be happy about that. You see, I want the American people, together with producers, to really drive what products they want and in turn drive what intervention is. Get the government out of the business of picking winners and losers and subsidizing farmers. Oh, yeah, I'm not running for Congress in Iowa. I understand what's going on, but this does not benefit the overwhelming majority of the American people. That's the problem here. He can get a standing ovation and an applause because what the farmers are saying, ah, ha, ha, or the distillers, I'm going to have more business. Well, that's not the government's role, and it's certainly not a president's role. Democrats do this. Republicans do that. They're big government parties, and they're all big on private-public partnerships. Give me a break. What it is crony capitalism. in terms of political ideology, it's fascism. And the fascism primarily comes from the progressives on the left in this country. But here Trump is doing the same thing. Oh, yes, I'm not a Democrat or Republican, and I didn't vote for this guy. I don't trust him. How many tens of millions of illegal aliens have been deported? The answer is none. Oh, yeah, he'll go after the criminal illegal aliens. But they're even less than 10%. There may be 2 or 3% of all the illegals are here. Now, he promised, you know, promises made, promises kept. Oh, okay, Mr. President, you said, elect me and I will remove and deport all the illegal aliens that are here. They have to go home. Has he kept that promise? No, he has not. Has he built 1,000 miles of the wall? No, he has not. But he's going to Iowa, and that's why I played this. I'm in Texas. Yeah, Texas is an oil state, and yes, they do get subsidies. But listen closely. I don't want any government subsidies to anybody, period. And I don't want mandates. Compete. I'm for competitive, free enterprise, market capitalism. And the government's role is basically to protect me from foreign powers that want to take my stuff. But who's really taking my income and stuff? It's the government, folks. We have two big government parties, and that's what they're about. They're using the government to take your money. And the Democrat Party does it, and so does the Republicans. And then what do they do with the money? Oh, they give it to their favorite special interest. See, most of the politicians today in Washington are bought and paid for. It's no accident that if you're a Republican politician from the farm states, whether it's Iowa, Kansas, Minnesota, wherever, just look at that graphic. It's the middle of the country, what's commonly referred to flyover country. I want competition. I don't want politicians peddling, vote for me and I give you free stuff. Vote for me, I give you a subsidy. Vote for me, I'll give you a mandate. Mind their own business. You see, they can't even have a budget. See, that's what drives me nuts. We haven't had a budget in years in terms of running the federal government. That might surprise you. See, nearly everybody has to have a budget, whether they actually put it down on paper or not. You have limited resources. You know, you got to pay the rent or you got to pay the mortgage payment. You got to buy food. You got to buy clothing. And you make do. If you lose your job, then what comes first? You got to make a list. Not the federal government. They just spend. And if they don't have enough money, they borrow. And I'll get into that next show. So I wanted you to have the opportunity to listen to Donald Trump talking to a group of people, mainly farmers and people in the distillery business that make the ethanol. Let me play a few more minutes of this.
All across our land. Here with us today are several Americans at the center of our nation's energy revolution who want to share why ethanol is so important to them. Kevin Ross is a sixth-generation farmer from the nearby town of Minden. Kevin, please come up and share your story. Kevin.
Let's hear a story.
Thank you. Welcome, Mr. President, to the great state of Iowa. Governor Reynolds, Governor Ricketts, Senator Ernst, Senator Fisher, Administrator Wheeler, and Secretary Perdue. Thank you all for being here. It's my privilege to host you near my home and represent farmers all across the Midwest today. I'm Kevin Ross, a sixth generation farmer and first vice president of the National Corn Growers Association. My wife, Sarah, and I grow corn, soybeans, hay, cattle, and are raising our four boys, Hudson, Axton, Carver, and Hollis. Also in this large crowd, our family and a few hundred friends and neighbors. We farm just 20 miles up the road near Underwood and Minden, but we are steps away from land that my great-grandfather cleared on this very Missouri River bottom. Mr. President, Secretary Perdue, and Administrator Wheeler, I want to sincerely thank you for sending direction to the EPA and making 15% ethanol blends available year-round, bridging a gap to higher blends. You see, folks, I'm well aware of the conversations that the president held at the White House with colleagues, farmers, and my Iowa senators almost a year ago. I especially want to thank you, Senator Ernst. In those conversations, sir, you heard of the benefits of E15, and best of all, you listened. Thank you. Just a couple months later, you gave direction to EPA to finalize the E15 rules, and here we are today, done. Mr. President, you delivered on E15, but we have more work to do. EPA's oil refinery waivers threaten to undo your good works. I ask that you listen again, because the pain the ethanol and biodiesel industries have endured is holding back a farm economy that has further capacity to produce more clean air and clean liquid fuels for this country. Mr. President, around here, we have acres of clean air growing in rows 30,000 plants at a time. This is the corn state, and here in the greater Midwest, well, this is corn country. I also know you have long-term goals for a bill to get on your desk on infrastructure. The needs for this were evident before, but with the destructive spring that this area and so many other places across the nation have endured as well, this need is more glaring. I implore you to next tackle this with the same tenacity and vigor that you have with border security and other issues. I work in the greatest, I work in the greatest industry we have in this country, and that's agriculture. We're blessed by God to have soils and the science that have let us achieve new heights in production. Whether that's yield of corn, the efficiency of this ethanol plant, or gains in my cattle, agriculture continues to do more with less. Sir, I was just a 4-H'er and a FFA farm kid that grew up with a dream to farm. My background is not unique in rural America, because every one of these proud Americans out here could have gotten up here and told their own similar story. These boys of mine may grow up to farm, possibly be a future president. An economically healthy rural America, though, is what will give them that opportunity. Agriculture gives back more than its weight in food, fuel, fiber, and people that love this country. The economic benefits and the clean air delivered through biofuels are wins for the seventh generation on my family farm and wins for all U.S. citizens. President Trump, keep winning with stronger support for these policies and the agricultural sector and in the United States, great United States of America. Thank you, Mr. President.
This farmer needs to compete, like everyone else in the United States, with other farmers and other businesses. Of course, he's for more and more ethanol. Now, if he had oil, it'd be more and more petroleum or gasoline without ethanol. Ultimately, who pays? The consumer pays. It benefits, these subsidies, these mandates benefit a few people. Farmers, corn farmers, and yes, the people that distill it. It's a business. Like any business, there's ups and downs. This is what you get when you interfere with the freedom of producing a good for a mass market. But I have no choice. I got to buy gasoline that has ethanol in it, period. And they want to increase that to 15%. And how does that impact? Oh, yeah, you better have engines that can do that. Government interference invariably leads to inefficiency. And yes, you're going to have people that really benefit from this. Farmers, distillers definitely do. But who gets hurt? By far gets hurt. It's the American consumers. So I'm not for any subsidies, whether it's the oil industry or for corn farmers. Get the government out of the mandating and subsidy business. It's not the function of government to do that. But we have two big government parties, Democrat and Republican. That's what they're about. The Democrats are primarily Santa Claus socialists. Vote for me and I'll give you free stuff. But this is what this is about. This is free stuff, a nice fat subsidy, or a mandate requiring consumers to buy gasoline with more and more ethanol. Ultimately, that's what they would like to do. The problem is there's pushback. Yep, the petroleum industry in Texas and in other states are pushing back. So are livestock producers. Remember, see, what this is centralized planning, the government interfering, not minding its own business. And there's Trump peddling this, and I guess he's popular with farmers. He sure is. It's interesting they don't really cover this very well. You notice that? I did, and it's a lot more complicated. I could give another hour, but I'm not, on the who's really making the money off of this. And I would lose you. But what they're trying to do is to mandate continually increasing the amount of biofuel you must have in a gallon of gasoline. Doesn't make sense. Not when we could import it or buy it from American producers. Because you can't get around the fact that gasoline without ethanol, you're going to get, there's more energy in it. The less energy, you're going to have to buy more of it to go wherever you're going. Take the extreme case of 100% ethanol. It's going to cost you a lot more money to go from point A to B. You don't notice it when it's 10% or less. You notice it big time when it's 100%. That's why it's usually cheaper by the gallon for a reason. You got to buy a lot more of it. But you have another problem. Retailers having to have pumps. Let's say they get their way and go to 15 and then 85. You're going to have pumps. And you have to have car engines and cars that can take it. It's meddling, folks. That's the problem with centralized planning. The government invariably screws it up. And this is just one example. There are lots, there are thousands, hundreds of thousands of examples. This is not the way we want to go. It's called the RFS, Renewable Fuel Standard. It's been a disaster. It's a bureaucratic nightmare. Well, guess what? Bureaucrats like nightmares. It keeps them fully employed. But who pays for this nightmare? You and me. I'm not really doing full justice to this because I don't want to devote the show just to this. But I had to amplify and consider this part two of the previous show. Now, I also was going to cover the head-to-head between Joe Biden and Donald Trump. Given time limitations, see, I've concluded that Biden is not going to get the nomination. Now, the conventional wisdom, he has the backing of the establishment. He does have the backing of the establishment, but he doesn't have the support of the base, because that's why you have three dozen candidates running for president on the Democratic side, and many of them are radical extremist Democrats. They're socialists. Now, some will say they're liberal, some will say they're progressive, some will say they're Democratic socialists. They're for bigger and bigger government. They want to tell you what you have to buy because they think they're smarter than you. They can't mind their own business. They literally cannot do that. And that's why we have the mess today in terms of a larger and larger national debt. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. If you look at what they call unfunded liabilities, obligations, and they're what? The entitlement programs, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and welfare programs or income security programs. That's another euphemism they use. And we need to reform it because that is driving these massive deficits. And eventually what's going to happen is interest rates are going to spike, whether Donald Trump wants them or not, because people are wising up. There's always, people will always lend you money at an interest rate, but eventually they'll perceive the United States government as being not low risk or no risk, but high risk. And at that point, what happened to Greece will happen to the United States. Namely, you're going to see a spike up in interest rate. There is a day of reckoning. And this is just part of the problem. Government can't mind its business. It wants to intervene in the economy in the United States, and it wants to intervene abroad. And when they get in trouble, they start a war. Bang the drums for starting a war. And yes, the Middle East is probably where the next war will be. Either that or China. So I'm not happy at all listening to President Trump pander to the farmers and distillers of ethanol. Now, I wish the farmers well, but I don't want to subsidize them. Oh, yeah, I want bread, I want corn, but I don't want corn to be grown, so I have to buy gasoline that has a higher and higher and higher percentage of ethanol, when ethanol simply has less energy in it, which means I need to buy a lot more gasoline to get where I want to. That's not what the American people want. What the American people want is a competitive free enterprise system where the government is not helping out people. The government should stay out of this. That's what I'm saying. Leave us alone. Let us compete. Let us supply the products that the American people want. They want cheap food and they want cheap gasoline, not higher and higher food prices and higher gas prices. We have a bunch of meddlers, and they never have run a business, but by God, they know what's good farm policy or good energy policy. No, they don't. They absolutely do not know. What was the big meddle of the Obama administration? It's called Obamacare, and they didn't want it. They wanted it to fail, and it did fail. Why? The government loads on all the benefits makes it too expensive. So the premiums go up and the co-pays go up. And you have a lot of people that simply cannot afford it, so they subsidize them. And it failed. Add insult to injury, the Republicans didn't repeal and replace it. That's what's needed to be done. Let the marketplace provide the goods and services, and the American people will decide what they want. And if the businesses choose wrong, they'll fail. If they choose right, they'll be immensely successful. Get the government out of people's business. Mind their own businesses. Mind their own business. I'm for maximum competition. Let the farmers plant whatever they want and take the risk. Some years they'll do very well, and some years they'll do very poorly, whether it's due to floods or a bumper crop around the world. But that's what it's about. It's about having the freedom to start a company, start enterprise, put a lot of effort and money into it. And if you do very, very well and execute very well, you'll reap the rewards. But I don't want the rewards being money taken out of taxpayers' pocket to finance these mandates. See, these mandates are costing you and me money, not only at the gas pump, but in terms of grocery stores. When you buy meat, whether it's chicken, pork, turkey, beef. Oh, yeah, they're not big on this ethanol. Dairy farmers. Why? Because prices of feed have gone up. If the farmers were not growing field corn for ethanol, they could be producing feed for these animals. So this is, see, I'm pro-farmer, but I'm not pro-government subsidizing. That's why I'm very suspicious anytime I see a politician, and Trump does it too. Oh, we need public-private partnerships. That's called crony capitalism. What it really is fascism. Government controlling business. I don't want fascism. I don't want crony capitalism. It's corruption. It's bought and paid for politicians. And that's where we're at. We have a big welfare and warfare, very dependent on the government. I'm big on incentives, but the wrong incentives are not what we need. Let the market provide the incentives. Because right now, we've seen what, more than 80 years, a big government has led to. Massive deficits and a massive national debt. And that's the tip of the iceberg when you add up all the unfunded obligations for Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and all the welfare programs. Oh, yes, they're popular. Santa Claus socialism works. People will vote for other politicians that give them free stuff. What they don't understand, it ultimately costs them many times more. There's no such thing as a free lunch. There's no such thing as a free education. There's no such thing is free health care. If you want something, go out and work for it and pay for it yourself. Don't become dependent on government, because that is the road to serfdom, slavery, and you're seeing it when you're paying taxes. When you add all the taxes up, you're paying 40, 50, 60% of your income. And we're beyond that. Now we're not only spending all the tax revenues, what we're also doing is borrowing when we have deficits, where our spending exceeds our revenue by hundreds of billions of dollars. That's why I've given up voting. I don't vote Democrat or Republican anymore. I've woken up to the fact you're voting for a bought and paid for politician that truly doesn't care about what your concerns are or your interests are, other than to try to get your vote. Vote for me and I'll give you, in this case, a mandate, a subsidy. No, absolutely not. If that's what you're about, no. Thank you for listening. And now, America the Beautiful.
My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College.
You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, Friends, Freedom, First. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProcPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.